This is a podcast about the manosphere, so it may contain references to extremist misogyny and violence, and it will definitely contain lots of swears.
Hey Dan, did you know that all feminists hate men?
Well, this is awkward. Hello and welcome to Manosphere Debunked, the podcast where the facts as the manosphere understand it are then held up against the facts as they are in reality, and we compare the two and decide that the manosphere is actually full of crap. Hello, my name is Dan, otherwise known as the Narcissist Psychologist on Instagram.
And I'm Aileen, and every week Dan introduces this podcast, the explanation of what it is gets longer. And if you'd like to support this podcast, you can do so on Patreon, patreon.com/manospheredebunkedpod. You will get a slightly longer version of this episode. You will get exclusive bonus episodes, and you will get our eternal gratitude. You can also support us by liking, reviewing, sharing, telling everybody. That would be lovely. So again, I don't know what we're talking about. I swear down that I've not planned this, guys. I've just like decided I'm not doing any research anymore. But for the second time in a row, I don't actually know what's going on because Dan's withholding information from me.
Mm-hmm. And again, like I was saying earlier, it's not because I like to lord the control over you in any shape or form. Mm-hmm. It's actually it's just because the reactions are priceless, and the way you react just makes me laugh so much. So yeah. So today's topic is about a commonly held trope about feminists. Now, can you potentially guess what that trope might be?
What a bounty to pick from. That we hate men?
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, 100 points for the correct answer first time round.
And we're ruining the world because of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in terms of thinking about how to introduce the episode, I didn't kind of know how to lead in with it. But I did find an article very recently written on the 8th of March of this year by Amber Wardell, who's a PhD, and she's written it for Psychology Today Canada. And it's called Debunking the Myth of the Man-Hating Feminist. The introduction goes as such. Feminists hold a strong belief that patriarchy harms everyone, including men, and that liberation will be had by all when we dismantle patriarchy and the sexist oppression it props up. Despite that, feminists remain seen by some as little more than man-hating misandrists.
Let's preach, Amber. I hope you're not just stealing a woman's work for this episode, Dan.
Well, I mean, a large part of this episode is grounded on the research done by women, so
yeah, that's not the same. As long as there's citations, I'll allow it.
Absolutely. Acknowledged, referenced, and definitely encouraged to go and seek out their work in the show.
Unlike any Manosphere podcast, then.
Yeah.
You're not going to go, they did a study, and then make up.
No. So I'm going to guess that potentially most people who listen to this podcast might have some idea of what misandry is. But I guess for the uninformed, can you wax lyrical very briefly about what misandry is?
For the listeners, I just rolled my eyes. So I think the basic meaning of misandry or being a misandrist is being a man-hater. It's supposed to be the opposite of misogyny. I find it's often deployed like people deploy reverse racism. So it's like, oh, well, if I said that, you know, about a woman, everyone would say I'm sexist, but you can say it about a man. It's like, yeah, I can. So shut the fuck up. yeah, basically it's blanket hating men.
Absolutely. So we'll go to the old, actually, we haven't had a Wikipedia for definition for a while, have we?
Kicking it old school.
Yeah. So misandry.
Did I bully you out of Wikipedia definitions?
Oh, no, it's just that I found other means to define things. But actually,
there are other websites available.
Do you know how it usually works? I'm not going to lie. I will type in like the definition of what I want, and then usually I'll just take the top one, unless, of course, it's absolutely not right. This just happened to be the very first definition that popped up on Wikipedia, which you're right, everything you said, it's the hatred of, contempt for, or prejudice against men or boys. The article goes further to say that misandry refers to prejudice, discrimination, or hatred directed towards men that is rooted exclusively in their gender. Opponents of feminism, both men and women, believe that feminists are misandrists who serve only to create division and gender wars.
Damn right.
That's your sole purpose in life. Would it be fair to say?
As a feminist, yeah. I mean, I've got other purposes, but, you know, generally, sowing division and gender wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's my jam. Play it again.
It also goes on to say that contemporary US-based polls indicate that almost 50% of men and women view feminism as an ideology that unfairly penalizes men for women's issues.
Yeah, I've seen those polls recently. They're fucking depressing.
Mm.
Also, like, when you ask people, has feminism gone too far?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How? Where? What? When? When did the women stop getting murdered by the men? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, could probably go a bit further.
Yeah, I reckon so. I reckon it'd be all right. Yeah.
Yeah. It might just bear thinking about why the idea of misandry exists, because, mm-hmm. spoiler alert, there was a study done in 2023 that spanned nine nations and had 9,799 participants that looked at whether feminists were misandrists.
Hmm.
And one of the conclusions, or the main conclusion overall, is that misandry, as a belief held strongly by feminists, is a myth. So it's not true.
Could have told you that without study, but, you know.
But this backs it up via science.
Yeah. I'm sure all the misogynists will listen to it and be like, well, that proves that I'm wrong. That's what will happen.
Are they not convinced by science, unless it's evolutionary psychology?
I think they're convinced by science that proves the thing that they already think.
Okay. Yeah. So within the paper, they go into some sort of considerations as to why or how the idea of misandry continues to be perpetuated and why it exists. So one of the things that they talk about is the idea of stereotype accuracy hypothesis, which is the idea that stereotypes, like most social perceptions, are sustained by the idea that there is a kernel of truth in them. And then they go on to say that there is little doubt, of course, that some feminists are misandrists, just as some non-feminists are also likely to harbor negative attitudes towards men. Further, some feminists have claimed that misandry is a legitimate, even necessary aspect of the movement. Their argument is that bad feelings towards men are rational responses to men's hatred and mistreatment of women, and that more positive and dispassionate responses would only undermine women's motivation to bring about social change.
I mean, yeah, I think it's way more complex, really, than saying, like, are you misandrist or not? I think the whole concept of misandry is kind of problematic in a way, or the way, certainly the way it's used in the manosphere, because you can have distrustful feelings towards men. You can even say, like, I fucking hate men.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that to my boyfriend. He understands what I mean by that, because it was after, like, an encounter with a man who was made comments about my body that was not okay. I said to him, like, fucking hate men, no offense, babe. He was like, none taken. You know what I mean? Like,
that aligns with one of the other reasons that the authors cite misandry, or the idea of misandry, may exist. Feminists may hold negative attitudes towards men because they may be inclined to perceive men as a threat towards women. So again, it's in line with that idea that seeing men as a threat, you know, having had experiences of the horrible things that men do, makes sense, right? The other thing that was really interesting is that, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there is a stage theory of development about the consciousness of feminists. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know. I don't really know what you mean. So I don't know if I know.
Okay.
That makes sense. You don't mean like first wave, second wave, third wave feminism, do you?
No. So okay. There's a stage theory of development about how a woman becomes a feminist, like how their consciousness is raised towards.
Oh, I know about consciousness raising. I mean, there were like groups in the 1970s, women used to just sit around and basically talk about what it's like to be a woman and like feelings and shit. That would kind of raise your consciousness. I suppose I'm going to guess, but I might be wrong. Shall I guess?
Go on then.
Okay. I'm going to guess that what is meant by that is that there's sort of a revelation at some point that you have been mistreated by men, or because you're a woman, or like you've been expected to do things or not to do things, or disallowed from things because you're a woman, like a personal kind of revelation of the way that gender norms and patriarchy has imposed itself upon your life and that of the people around you. And that's often the kind of awakening that sparks you to get into the feminist movement. And then sometimes that comes with a lot of anger and resentment when you realize how much that's fucked you up and fucked your life up. And then once you've maybe felt that and had solidarity with that, potentially more nuance of understanding of patriarchy and how it affects men and how it affects different people at different intersections of identities in different ways and how you're complicit in it too. And all that shit comes after the initial enraged realization, I suppose. Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. In the paper, it quotes Downing and Roosh's 1985 stage theory of the development of feminist consciousness, which proposes that personalized negative feelings towards men may develop in the early stages of feminist consciousness, which is mm-hmm. kind of called the revelation stage. Downing and Roosh argued that this negativity is then transformed into a system blaming rather than a person blaming orientation as women progress mm-hmm. to deeper, more integrated feminist consciousness, which are then kind of in the stages known as synthesis or collective action stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's interesting as well, because I think there's a difference between maybe like men who hate feminists and potentially women think of as misandry, and then like what the objective standard of it is, mm-hmm. because I think most women at least have a little bit of wariness around men they don't know, at least, mm-hmm. you know, and most people have stereotypes about men or women.
So within the literature, those were some of the reasons that are kind of hypothesized as to why this idea of misandry exists, is that actually small subsets of feminists may be uh-huh. sort of taking into account also the type of feminist that they might be, because again, even within the feminist movement, not necessarily being a monolith, there are different types of feminists. So mm-hmm. there are liberal feminists, there are radical feminists. Sort of the paper talks about how liberal feminists are those who seek to sort of work towards equality and see men and women as not inherently different, but actually more similar than they are different. So therefore they strive for the more kind of equality in that respect, whereas kind of again mm-hmm. what the paper states is that radical feminism understands or thinks about things from a more oppressive patriarchal society and kind of advocates more for sort of systemic overhaul and therefore kind of just sort of leveling the playing field in that respect.
Yeah, liberal feminism is often called white feminism in circles that I move in, mm-hmm. which isn't like, doesn't mean that it's all women who are feminists and white are white feminists, although they are in a different way. And it doesn't actually mean all white feminists are white, but it's the idea that within the system that we have, we just need to get like women to the top of it, like girl bossing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Margaret Thatcher's prime minister, and that theory mm-hmm. kind of goes out the window. But that's often what liberal feminists are looking for. It's much more like, get women in leadership. But it's like, leadership of this shit? No thanks.
Okay.
Oh, there's another woman billionaire. There shouldn't be any, you know.
Yeah.
Guess I'm a radical feminist.
So yeah, so well, I mean, apparently so am I, because there was a revelation to myself as I was reading the paper. I guess it's interesting though, isn't it? Because I suppose in the rhetoric that I have seen from the manosphere in terms of talking about feminism, often mm-hmm. the sort of label of radical feminist is attributed to more vocal, I guess, in inverted commas, man-hating feminists. So, you know, women who might sort of say, I guess an example that springs to mind is, you know, the idea of kill all men or men are trash, that kind of mm-hmm. rhetoric that exists. And often that is attributed purely to radical feminists and that being the nature of that type of feminism. But actually what the theory or the sort of theoretical underpinnings of this idea of misandry seems to suggest is that actually those more vocal, those feminists who do actually maybe kind of speak quite angrily about men may potentially be at various different stages of their kind of that revelation that you've just mentioned or talked about.
I don't buy that, to be honest.
Okay.
Far be it from me to I'm going to do it, contradict an academic theory, but I know I can think of two feminists who are very far along in their journey, very nuanced in their understanding of things. Actually, if you read their books or their, just generally like listen to their content, you will see that they have an understanding of the structures and actually love lots of men. Mm-hmm. They still say shit like that. And they say it because, I mean, someone I'm thinking of is Salma El-Wadani, who's a radio presenter and an author. And she talks about on her, she doesn't really do social media so much anymore. She used to do more. She talks about on her page, she's like, instead of being like, why do you hate men? Like, you just hate men. Be like, why do you hate men? Why might it be that I say that I hate men? Why might it be that so many women say that they hate men? Might it be that a man raped me and a man raped my mother and a man raped my grandmother? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just very like unflinching. And I think that all political movements need these kind of really unflinching, almost, oh, that person's going a bit too far voices. I don't think Selma's going too far, by the way, but they need that mm-hmm. in order to push forward. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there are women who have got very sophisticated, mm-hmm. nuanced understanding of feminism will still say shit like that and are still very angry. Mm-hmm. And it's hard not to be. I think you can be both at the same time, really.
Yeah. And I agree. So the way that I conceptualize the anger is rooted in that more sort of rational response to prolonged, continued, awful experiences at the hands of men. And in some respects, you know, as a psychologist, part of me thinks like anger is helpful to a point and how long do you hold on to it? But, you know, there is also the other side of the coin in terms of validating those experiences and then saying, actually, mm-hmm. given the context in which you have experienced men, it makes sense that you are this angry and it makes sense that you might react in this way.
Yeah. And it's worth saying as well that expressing anger, this episode's so deep, guys, but it's worth saying that expressing anger is also a pretty radical act for women. You mm-hmm. know, we've said this before on the podcast and we'll say it again. Men's only legitimate emotion is anger unless they're in a football stadium or the like. Mm-hmm. Women are allowed to have a range of emotions as long as it's not anger. And I think for prominent feminists or prominent women to express rage is actually a really feminist act. And that obviously that comes across as, oh, they're angry, man-hating feminists. And it's like, sure, whatever. I don't really give a shit what you say because this is in itself is an act of defiance.
I think there is a response from men in that they see women express this anger and they see women say these things online and they personalize mm-hmm. it and they take it on board mm. and they see it as a significant critique of them as themselves rather than yep. as the sort of group, the criticism of the group, anger towards the group, but mm-hmm. rooted in the sort of historical in some respects, but then also very current experiences that women mm. have at the hands of men. And it's almost like these men really struggle to separate themselves from the group, which again, I suppose, you know, it maybe takes a certain level of cognitive or metacognitive awareness to be able to differentiate yourself as an individual from your sort mm-hmm. of group. But yeah, I guess
you need an acknowledgement of privilege and acknowledgement yeah. that there are structures and stuff like that that maybe benefit you or at least don't oppress you mm. that oppress other people. And yeah, especially if you're kind of a middle-class white man, then if you're doing that, if you're acknowledging that, you're doing it out of no like need mm. of you to do it. You could just fucking cruise through life without ever doing that.
So all of that then leads to the study in question, which again, uh-huh. as I've said, was a massive study published in 2023 in the Journal of Psychology of Women Quarterly.
We'll pop it in the show notes, yeah?
Yeah, we'll pop it in the show.
So people can have a look.
Yeah. And what they did is they conducted 6 studies looking at various different sort of hypotheses. All the studies across all 5 initial studies and then across a mm-hmm. meta-analysis of all the 5 studies, which was the 6th study, all studies looked at feminist and non-feminist attitudes towards men. And they all found that in absolute terms, feminists held positive attitudes towards men.
Hi folks, Aileen just popping in here with a quick clarification. We're going to talk about the findings of feminist attitudes in absolute terms a few times. Absolute terms just means when measured in and of itself. So even when you're just looking at feminist attitudes on their own, they do have positive implicit attitudes towards men in general. But it's important to note that it was both in absolute terms and in relative terms, so that just means compared to others, i.e. non-feminists. These studies found that feminists had positive attitudes towards men, and that will become clear as we go on with the podcast, but we just wanted to make it crystal clear that that's what the results showed.
So the first study was like in university students, feminists and non-feminists, all positive attitudes towards men. The second study was they looked at non-Western countries, asked the similar questions. And again, between feminists and non-feminists. And I think this included male participants as well. So who identified as feminists, I think, all positive attitudes towards men. So across different...
Male feminists?
Oh, yeah, we exist.
Now I've seen everything.
Then studies 3 and 4 were quite interesting because they looked at like implicit attitudes and then sort of meta perceptions. So the perception of a perception, because what they were talking about is that even within the feminist movements, there are the idea that feminists might hold more negative attitudes than, you know, non-feminists and things like that. So, but even then comparing perceived attitudes and actual attitudes, it was found that attitudes towards men were far more favorable. There were some differences again in the different types of feminist sort of cohorts, I guess, where some feminists did find men more threatening and that might have influenced their answers, whereas other feminists might have sort of considered men more similar to women. But again, across the board, in absolute terms, positively held regard for men. And then in study 5, I think one of the things that sort of was noted is that feminist warmth to men is often underestimated. So actually women hold a lot more warmth to men than is often thought. The other thing that was really interesting and is sort of cited in the Psychology Today article that I mentioned earlier is a paragraph that I'm going to send you to read. So if you could just read the paragraph and then kind of give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Finally, and perhaps most importantly, when it comes to men's perception of misandry, feminist women in the study were not significantly more hostile toward men than non-feminist women, but were significantly less benevolent toward them. This indicates that although feminist women do not hold hostile views toward men, they are less likely than non-feminist women to coddle men, to give them a pass for their unintentional harms, or to practice meekness and humility when correcting them. This suggests that men, particularly those who spend time in MRA circles, men's rights activist circles, perceive feminist women's refusal to capitulate to men as a sign of hostility and misandry, which, it should be noted, is not accurate. A mic drop. And that's it, isn't it? It's actually, men are so used to women sort of falling over themselves to not insult them, to make sure that they're okay, to, you know, to sort of look after their egos. Often there's a, you know, survival technique. That's why women are like that. That when we're just kind of bolshy or just say what we think, it's real like, oh God. But I love that paragraph. That it's not a conclusion, is it? But
no.
Oh, is it the conclusion?
It's not a conclusion. It's just one that's...
But it's so, it's so accurate to say that, like, actually, sometimes just when you're not getting that kind of privileged, coddled existence, you can feel... This is what happens with white people who are like, oh, black people are taking our jobs. No, they're just not considered our jobs anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not... They were never ours to begin with. And now sometimes people who aren't white get them because they are better. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, you know. So that's a great observation and very accurate, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've got another corker of a bit for you to read in a little while.
Ooh,
as an actual exciting. As an actual concluding statement. But before we get to that, the sixth and final study that was done was a meta-analysis of all the sort of 5 studies. The overall results were that feminist attitudes towards men were positive and did not significantly differ from non-feminists.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And then an interesting comparative benchmark was that feminist women's attitudes towards men were no more negative than men's attitudes towards men.
Ha, gotcha.
So actually, we as men hold negative attitudes towards other men, again, for very logical reasons, given sort of the idea of patriarchy, masculinity, fitting inside stereotypical gender man boxes and all the sort of, you know, violence that we have to worry about being enacted by other men towards us. So if feminists are considered misandrists for the level of anger and negative attitudes that they might hold towards men, then actually men should probably be considered misandrists for the exact same level of negative attitudes that they hold towards other men. But you don't see that sort of being bandied around, do you?
Well, I did a reel about this the other day, because I think so much of the time I'm watching the manosphere and going, if I said that, they'd all be in my comments saying I was a misandrist.
Yeah.
And I actually think we should have a segment on here, like at the end of episodes, that's basically misogynist or misandrist. And I'm going to read you a quote and you have to tell me which one it is.
Yeah.
It's always going to be the misogynist. That's the only thing is that it won't be a great twist, will it?
People will cotton on.
Yeah. But yeah, I want them to do the study the other way around. I want them to do it with attitudes to women, because that would be interesting, because I think that feminists would have the nicest attitudes towards women, including from non-feminist women, and definitely from generally men, and definitely from manosphere types. I want someone to replicate the exact same thing, the exact same surveys, just switch it over and it be about women, and you do non-manosphere men and manosphere men, and you see who the people who actually hate a gender are.
I imagine that the results would be overwhelmingly in favor of misogyny existing. And I guess, you know, yes, I agree. But I think also, I think there's enough literature already out there that sort of highlights hostile attitudes towards women. Although, actually, having said that, I think it's always a particular subset of individuals, isn't there?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I would love that kind of like broad. I mean, there must be data out there. And there are certainly are data. There's data out there about men's attitude towards feminists, but that's kind of a different thing. I often think it's sort of a dog whistle when they talk about feminists, because they're really talking about women having independence. But it's like less controversial if you say feminists have ruined the world, and not like women having bodily autonomy has ruined the world.
Yeah, and I guess that's one of the things that the paper talks about, is the idea of the misandry argument being a very political stance. So to undermine feminism and to kind of demean it and use it as a punching bag, really, to kind of highlight the disadvantages that men and some men experience, rather than turning the lens where it should be, which is the systems, the sort of scripts of masculinity, the influence of capitalism and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly what I was about to say. Most of the time, we should do an episode on this, but like almost all of the time when I hear men talk about the problems of being a man, the thing that they're talking about is capitalism and like wage labor and wealth inequality and income inequality. It's nothing to do with fucking feminism. Anyway.
So, to end, I've got one more passage for you to read, which again isn't a concluding statement from the Psychology Today article, but I think summarizes everything very nicely. So I'm going to get you to read that.
Cool.
Okay. There you go.
Okay. The first sentence is hitting. Just a three-word sentence. We love it. Misandry is a... that's not three words, it's four. So... maybe women are thick after all. misandry is a myth. Just let's leave that in the ether for a minute. There we go. Misandry is a myth. Although it is true that there are some feminists who identify as misandrists, those women are the exception, not the norm. To those men who apply not all men arguments to every discussion about men's harms towards women, this should be a relatively easy concept for them to grasp. what a legend. Who wrote this? Is this the Amber? Hit me up. Let's go for a drink. Fucking legend, mate. Absolute mic drops happening all over this article. It's so true. It's so true as well. It's like, not all feminists. And it's like,
So there we go. That is the idea of the misandry myth, and how the concept or the notion of feminists being man-haters has officially been debunked in absolute terms.
That's great, isn't it? Can't wait to show all of the manosphere that. And then it'll all be over.
Yeah.
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 That's how that works, isn't
it? The unfortunate thing is that they'll just label that as feminist propaganda.
Oh, 100%. I can't wait to tell a man in my comments that there is a study. Well, it's actually five studies, and then a meta-analysis of the studies that says unequivocally that misandry is essentially a myth in absolute terms. I can't wait to say that to a man and have him go, well, it's just true, look it up, or something like that.
Where's your evidence? Oh my God.
It's just common sense.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah, that's from a woke university. Where's your evidence from? Fucking Institute of Women Haters, prick.
Well, there we go. And that concludes the episode.
Yeah, well, that's great then. So I guess that's sorted then. Shall we go for a pint next week? Because it's all been disproved.
The Manosphere issue has been solved by that one study alone.
Well, I guess this is our final episode, folks. See you.
Thanks for those subscribers who joined our Patreon right at the very end. Sorry, we don't have anything else.
Just keep subscribing. So Dan and I can go for a pint. Going to say something and I've forgotten now. What did you just say? Men, blah blah blah. Oh, yeah, I've got this. I've got men, blah blah blah.
What did you just say? Men, blah 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 blah.
Blah, blah. In my head, I was going through what you just said, but it came out like that. Okay. Whew.